All right, so I've been sitting with this book for a few days now, Anna Lemke's new one, Radical Surrender, and I keep coming back to one question. Why does trying harder to control our lives seem to make everything worse?
That's exactly the tension she's building the whole book around. And what's interesting is who's asking it. Lemke is a professor of psychiatry at Stanford and the chief of the Stanford Addiction Medicine Dual Diagnosis Clinic. This isn't a wellness influencer talking about letting go. This is a clinician who spent years studying compulsive behavior.
Right, and most people know her from Dopamine Nation. That book sold more than 1.5 million copies globally. So there's a real audience already primed for her thinking.
And Radical Surrender is the flip side of that coin. Dopamine Nation was about compulsive consumption, the way we chase pleasure and end up trapped. This new book says, okay, but what about compulsive control? What happens when the thing we're addicted to isn't a substance, but certainty itself?
Mm-hmm. Say more about that, certainty as an addiction, because that framing is doing a lot of work.
So Lemke's argument is that we've become a generation obsessed with managing every variable. Our routines, our diets, our career timelines, even our reproductive choices. And the more we optimize, the more anxious we get. Because life keeps refusing to cooperate.
So not X, but Y? It's not that planning is bad, it's that we've crossed into something compulsive?
Exactly. The compulsive part is the key. Think of someone who can't leave the house without checking every lock 3 times, then checking again from the car. That's an extreme version. But Lemke is saying the same psychological engine is running quietly in a lot of us, just pointed at more socially acceptable targets.
And the outcome of all that controlling isn't calm, it's the opposite.
She identifies a specific cluster of outcomes: anxiety, loneliness, boredom, and shame. Which is striking, because those 4 things feel very much like the defining mood of this cultural moment. And now Radical Surrender is a New York Times and LA Times bestseller, which tells you the diagnosis is landing.
Why loneliness, though? That one surprised me. I'd expect anxiety, sure, but loneliness from trying to control things?
Because control is fundamentally isolating. When we're managing every outcome, we stop being genuinely present with other people. Relationships require tolerance for unpredictability, for the other person to surprise you, to need something you didn't plan for. If you can't handle that, connection becomes very thin.
That's a real insight. So the need for mastery actually crowds out the conditions that make intimacy possible.
That's the core of it. And Lemke frames the alternative, surrender, not as passivity, but as recognizing there's a power greater than yourself at work. She calls it less mastery, more mystery, which sounds almost poetic, but she's grounding it in neuroscience and clinical observation.
For everyone listening, the key idea here is that this isn't a self-help book telling people to try harder. It's almost the opposite.
Right. And that's why it's resonating. We're saturated with optimization culture. Lemke is a credentialed scientist saying, the optimization itself might be the problem. That's a genuinely disruptive message coming from someone with her background.
Now, she also brings her own personal story into this. It's not purely clinical.
That's what makes it feel like Dopamine Nation rather than a textbook. She uses her own experience of loss and existential reckoning as the entry point. The personal narrative and the neuroscience are woven together. You're not just reading a theory, you're watching someone work through it.
Which makes the argument harder to dismiss. It's not abstract.
Exactly. And for our listener, the takeaway from this opening chapter is really this: the anxiety, the loneliness, the low-grade shame that so many people carry, Lemke is arguing that a significant driver of all of it is the compulsive need to control what can't be controlled. That's the diagnosis. The treatment comes next.
And that's where we're headed. Next time, we get into the specific psychological tools we use to maintain that illusion of control and why Lemke thinks they're quietly making things worse.
The defenses. That's where it gets really uncomfortable, in the best way.